good to see you all. I'm going to start with a little bit cute slide with good title. Last Sunday, we wrap up our sermon series, Experiencing God. Through that series, we are reminded of how God reaches out to his people when they have wandered from his way, and how he invites us to return to walk with him and join him in what he is doing. We all fall short of God's glory. And because of that, in many areas of our lives, we often end up following our own ways instead of walking in God's ways. We go down paths that seem right to us, the paths shaped by our own desires and convictions. When we truly listen to God's voice, we begin to recognize that the road we are on may not be the right one. When we see where God is at work, we are called to take action in faith. We leave our own way and join God where he is working. This spirit-led course correction needs to happen continually in all areas of our lives. Returning to God and joining his work requires our obedience, because God won't step into our path and bless our own plan that is apart from God. But he will lead us to his path and work through us when we obey. As we surrender everything to him and fully depend on him, the Spirit fills us. He works in us and through us to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. When God works through our obedience, we begin to experience him and come to truly know him. Then we grow deeper in our relationship with him and become more like him. God's work is to fulfill his ultimate dream, the salvation of all people. God is love, so his work naturally leads us to a life of serving others. Joining God means serving God and others. There is no such Christian life as this. I'm walking with God on his path, but I'm still focused only on my life and will do nothing to serve others. When we are united with God and filled with his Spirit, we naturally want to serve him and others. However, in real life, serving others can be challenging for many reasons. Even when our intentions are good, things don't always go the way we hoped. Some people are just really hard to serve. Sometimes, as we serve, we end up feeling drained, frustrated, or even hurt. So this morning, we will take a look at why we face challenges when we serve, and how God calls us to view others and serve them. Matthew 7, 9 to 12. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gift to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you have them to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In this scripture passage, verse 12 is the key verse. So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. Why do we need to serve that way? We should first see where it begins. In verse 9 and 10, Jesus says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" Even though we are broken people, we still know how to give good things to our children. We don't respond to a child's hunger with something harmful. We want to provide care. We want to give and bless. In verse 11, Jesus goes on to say, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gift to those who ask him?" That's where true serving begins. It doesn't start with duty or pressure. It starts with knowing who God is. Our Heavenly Father gives us good gifts generously. Good gift means what we need and what is good for us, not what we want. When we truly know that we are loved like that by our Heavenly Father, and we have received good gift from his hand, our hearts are deeply moved. In verse 12, Jesus says, "So in everything do to others what you have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophet." What he's saying here is, now that you have seen the heart of the Father for you, now that you know how he treats you with good gift, go and serve others in the same way. It's more than just doing good things for people. It's about reflecting the heart of God as we serve others. Jesus said at the end of the verse, "For this sums up the law and the prophet." This means that do to others what you'd have them do to you is what God's word is truly about. In other words, if we are not serving others in his way, you are actually missing the heart of all that God has taught us in his word. Because this sums up the law and the prophet. Our lives are meant to be filled with serving that reflects the heart of the Father. So then, why is it that we will still struggle so much to serve others? That is because we are living in the kingdom of this world, and it's still affecting us more than we realize. Here, Jesus talks about how people in the kingdom of this world serve others. Luke 6:32-34. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And then if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full." As Jesus says, this is how the world teaches us to serve, always with conditions. The world says you are the center of your life. It is all about me, my benefit, my comfort, my feelings, my desires, and my security. We love only those who love us back. We are kind only to those who are kind to us. We reach out only when we expect something in return. If you treat me well, I'll treat you well in return. If you hate me, I'll hate you back. If you hurt me, I will hurt you back. The way of this world is, do to others as they do to you. This sums up how this world views and treats others. I don't care about how you feel or what you need, but I care about how I feel, what I want, and what I can get. This mindset is at the center of our decision. I'd like to ask you to examine your heart for a moment. If serving others is feeling challenging, if it feels burdensome, frustrating, or unnatural, it might be because this mindset has slowly and quietly settled into your heart without you even noticing. The world has shaped us more than we realize. You might not want to admit it, but we often carry the same mindset. And that's why truly serving others, the way Jesus calls us to, can feel so hard. It's stressful, it's inconvenient, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense. This is a fundamental mindset of this world. This is why Jesus came. He introduced the kingdom of God. It's the complete opposite of the world you have been shaped by. It's a new way of thinking, a new way of living, and a new way of relating to people. It begins with taking ourselves out of the center of the universe. Instead of everything revolving around me, Jesus invites us to surrender, to lay down our will, our self-righteousness, our comfort, our preferences, our benefits, our control, our fear, our pride, and let God be the center. Jesus himself lived that way. While this world says, serve when it's safe and when it benefits you, Jesus served when it cost him everything. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He washed the feet of his disciples, even the one who betrayed him. He touched the untouchable. He welcomed the outsider. He loved the unlovable. He forgave those who nailed him to a cross. This is the way of the kingdom of God. As we read in Luke 6:32-34, Jesus talks about how people in the kingdom of this world serve others. And now in Luke 6:27-31, he explains about how people in the kingdom of God are called to serve. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. And move down to verse 35. Again, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the way of serving for people in the kingdom of God. Not self-centered and conditional, but deep, sacrificial, spirit-filled serving that reflects the heart of the Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus served us that very way. We belong to Him and His kingdom. Now we are called to serve others His way. Jesus is challenging us here. My people are called to something totally different. The way you serve isn't based on how others treat you, but it's rooted in how the Father has treated you. You give because you have already received undeserved grace. We love because you are deeply loved by the Heavenly Father, even while you are still His enemy. You serve because you have been served first by Jesus, who gave His life for you. That's the heart of the kingdom of God. Through Luke chapter 6, we have looked at how the world teaches us to serve and how Jesus calls us to serve. The fundamental difference is this: what is at the center of our souls and what fills the core of our heart. Let's think about this way. When we see someone behaving badly, maybe on the street, at work, or even in the news, what's your first thought? We often feel frustrated or angry. We judge their actions and think they need to face the consequences. When someone causes trouble or acts selfishly, we want them to feel the impact of what they have done. Our natural response is focused on fairness and justice, that they should get what they deserve. However, what if someone from our own family, maybe even one of our children, is acting that way? Of course, we still want to teach them what's right. We still believe in consequences. But our heart doesn't stop there. We feel compassion. We feel pain for them. We want to help them, walk with them, and guide them back to the right path. The situation may be similar, but our response is very different. With others, we respond only with fairness and judgment. With families, we respond with love. These same things happen in our daily lives. At work, if someone doesn't meet expectation, they might be let go. However, in a family, when someone is struggling, we don't give up on them. We support, encourage, and walk alongside them. What causes such a totally different responses is love. A company is built around performance and result for profit. A family is built around loving relationships. In a company, people are valued for their productivity. In a family, people are valued simply because they belong. That's the fundamental difference between the way the world serves and how the kingdom of God calls us to serve. So if you find it hard to serve others, and you have a list of reasons, take a moment and ask yourself, how would I respond if it were someone I love deeply? Most of the time, the real issue isn't the situation or the person. At the end of the day, there's usually one core reason. We don't love them enough to serve them. When we don't love, we look for reasons not to serve. And we find them in the person, the situation, or the cost. However, when we do love, all the reasons fade, then excuses disappear. Because love makes others more important than ourselves. And love gives us strength to overcome every challenge. We are called to serve His way in every area of our lives. Through the previous sermon series, we were reminded that God has invited us to join Him in His work to save all people. That means we are also called to serve His way in His mission. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. What Paul is saying is, I will do whatever it takes to reach people, to bring them the gospel. Even if that means giving up my rights, my comfort, or my preferences. This is how Christ served us. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us. He stepped into our world, into our weakness, into our brokenness, to love us and to save us. That's the way of the kingdom of God. We draw near to others first. We become like them, not to please them or entertain them, but to love them, to serve them, and to help them to know, the truth in a way they can truly understand. But don't be confused. This isn't about being seeker sensitive in the way the world uses that term. Some Christians change the message to fit what people want to hear. That's very dangerous and goes against God's will. Because God's word is to call sinners back to him for his glory, not to please their desires. Truth is truth. The gospel doesn't change. His word stands forever. Paul didn't change the truth. His heart was to help people truly understand the gospel in their context. Jesus did the same way. He spoke to Jewish people in their own context, using the words or images they were familiar with. If he came today, he would still preach the same truth, but he would speak it in a way that reaches us where we are. This way of serving is not about us. It's about the heart of God, the heart that wants all people to know him. Paul says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. That's the heart of we are called to carry. That's the mission we have been given. However, we can't do this on our own. We can't love like this, serve like this, or lay ourselves down like this by just trying harder. We'll be drained and get frustrated. It's only possible when we are filled with the love of Christ. We cannot give what we don't have. That love only comes from the Holy Spirit. That love puts others first because that makes others more important than myself. That's not from me. That's from God. It's the Spirit's work in us. When you confess our selfishness and weakness, surrender ourselves fully to him and depend on him in obedience, the Spirit begins to work through us. Then you can become all things to all people and do to others what you have them do to you in every area of your life, in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your friendship, and in our church here. Wherever you go, you reflect the heart of Jesus in everything you do because God is working in you through your obedience. This is the way we are called to serve. This is the heart of the kingdom for us and for his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace that deeply move us beyond ourselves. Teach us to lay down our own plans, comfort, pride, and fears, so that we can freely serve you and others. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us to become all things to all people, so that those around us may come to know you and your heart for us. May our lives reflect your heart in all we do and wherever we go. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you now. Lead us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand. To receive these blessings from the Lord, whose heart is always with you. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his heavenly peace. All God's people say, amen.